Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Handy Corner.
That would be a little weird. Strange Brew's on a Handy Corner.
It is. It is. It's one of the handiest corners. Is there a handier corner in Starkville than the one that Strange Brew and Chick-fil-A are on?
That's a handy corner there.
That might be the number one handiest corner we have here in the city of Starkville. So. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com and enjoy great Strange Brew coffee each and every morning. And you'll be supporting the Bulldog Initiative with every purchase, just like you do with our good friends over at PIP Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. Long story short, if you need to get customers into your business, PIP Printing and Signs has a way for you to do that. If you are a business owner and you are a Mississippi State fan, you cannot lose with PIP Printing and Signs, because not only are they going to give you incredible printing and great service, but they're going to take 10% of whatever you spend with them and donate it right back to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. So you can become a Bulldog Initiative business without spending a dime more than you're already spending on printing. That's a no-lose situation for you as a business owner. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216, or you can visit them online at pipridgeland.com. If you need printing, call PIP today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. They've got a great sale going on. Check it out, collegecornerstore.com. I tweeted a link to that. I will retweet it later today. And they've just got good stuff. And they've got a lot of, you know, you think, okay, it's a sale. They're getting rid of all that Banner M stuff. And, yeah, there's some Banner M stuff in there for sure. But there is also some great-looking state script, interlocking, and M over S gear in that sale as well. So check it out, collegecornerstore.com. And, of course, check out their two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. It's the place to grab the best meal in town every day, three times a day. Well, you can't do Sunday brunch every day, but you get my point. For lunch and dinner, you can't go wrong with Restaurant Tyler. For lunch, I mean, I talk about it all the time. I'm a blue plate guy. I like to have the meat and two, meat and three, and you get the best one in town over at Restaurant Tyler. For dinner, hey, if I want a steak, that's one of my favorite places to go in the state of Mississippi. Great steaks. Love the pasta dishes. Love all the stuff. Love my favorite dessert, too. That's the stuffed pancakes there. Just fantastic. If you want to have a special occasion, make a reservation at Restaurant Tyler. Are there aliens? What's going on there?
You're talking about?
You just keep looking around like it's like you're hearing noises. Are you okay?
Why do you keep drawing? I'm just looking outside. You've done this twice now.
Because
you don't have to draw attention to it on the podcast.
It's distracting. I'm like, is there something? Is he okay?
Don't look at the screen.
I'm worried about you. I'm worried. I'm worried that someone's going to attack you, and I'm going to have to watch you.
I'm just look. Can I look outside the window?
Yeah,
is that okay
can.
With you?
But I mean, if I'm just sitting here the whole time while you're talking, and I'm like.
You do that all the time. You're texting on your phone.
No.
You don't pay attention to what I'm saying.
Wrong. What did you say?
Exactly.
All right. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Find the location nearest you and take a look at what Priority One Bank can offer you as one of their customers. You're going to be pleasantly surprised, because you're probably thinking this is a small town bank. They don't do a lot more than offer checking and savings accounts. Wrong. They offer you everything the big banks do, but they also offer you the kind of service you expect when you're dealing with the people in your community. If you're already a Priority One Bank customer, you know how great their app is. Speaking of things that might be unexpected, you know, you think it's just an app, you can move your money around, and that's about it. That's not true. You can do a lot more than just that on the Priority One Bank app. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We're off to a rousing start here. A lot of hostility today on the rumblings.
Thanks to you.
No. Wrong. I simply asked a question, and then you were like, that's what you sound like.
Like Chewbacca?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes me Han Solo, by the way.
Han Solo?
Han Solo. That's right. That's right. That's what
I'm not even going to go there.
All right, then.
Mr. Hand Solo.
Han. On. They call him
there we go.
Movies. It's crazy. They call him Han a couple times.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Drumlings Day. Let's just jump right in. Ford Polk has our first question today. We're going to rank these mascots. They're all related to evil. Here we go. Demons, Demon Deacons, Blue Devils, Sun Devils, Delta Devils. I think Demon Deacons is the best one because that implies that a priest has been corrupted by the devil. A lot going on with the idea of a demon deacon. Like, yeah, he was a deacon in our church. Then he got possessed by the devil.
Yeah, plus it's a Baptist school.
Yeah.
So, like, what? Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
So there, that's one. I think Delta Devils is a great name.
That is a great name.
So that's two. Sun Devils?
Sun Devil.
Yeah. And then Blue Devils.
Blue Devils.
And then Demons is just kind of generic. So.
Yeah. Who are the Demons?
Northwestern State.
Northwestern State, Louisiana.
Yeah. Is there another demon?
The home of Ed Orgeron.
I'm sure there's some high schools out there that are the demons. No love for just the devils either, you know, the New Jersey Devils. So, go Devils! Yes.
Hey, did you happen to see, I don't know if you're on Instagram, but on my Facebook, I posted a story yesterday. Somebody had made the Raw is War theme,
mm-hmm.
and it was Seinfeld.
Oh, no. Okay, I'll have to go back and find it. I haven't seen it. Oh, no.
Man, it was so funny.
Funny. All like, right. I'll check it out.
It was the Raw is War theme, like, from, like, 1998.
What are locked in the soul of me? That one.
And it's got, like, you know, whenever George was, like, pushing everybody out of the way when there was a fire in the building, and the devil was in there.
Okay.
Go Devils!
I got to see that. All right, I'll check it out.
Whenever Newman was in the truck and it was on fire.
Ah! Oh, the humanity. All right, what's your perfect conference realignment? We would just go back to where we were 6 years ago and we didn't have all this stupid realignment. The Pac-12 would still exist. You know, Texas still in the Big 12. That works for me.
Yeah, I don't know if I like just two super conferences or whatever.
USC and the Big Ten is stupid. Let's just
it is.
It's stupid.
We should have you should have territories, basically. Mm-hmm. You should have just like the old wrestling territories.
Yes.
We should have the South. We should have the East Coast.
It's in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
It's so stupid.
It's dumb.
You have people that are about to have to fly across country to play soccer, volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people truly understand the ramifications.
All they care about is football, and I get that, but it's just dumb.
It's going to be a bad deal whenever all this stuff starts to really come to the surface.
Yeah,
and they see just how much it's going to cost to do all that.
Yeah, I agree.
You'll see.
I know. Colton Watson, rank these scenarios in terms of how much they'd help Mississippi State enter the hosting discussion. Nate Doan becomes a Sunday starter by the Alabama series. Auger back to the pen. Kohler and Larry bat 300 the rest of the year. Cup comes back, bats 250, and settles the DH situation by moving Mershon to second and Amani to DH. Tyson Harden has 7-ish appearances, 13-ish innings, 1 earned run between now and the SEC tournament. These are very specific scenarios. These are very specific.
I feel like it's got to be pitching, right?
No, if Kohler and Larry turned into 300 hitters the rest of the way, you're good. That's number one to me.
I just figured, you know, if they can keep the games close,
mm-hmm.
I feel like the offense is going to be able to do enough things at some point. You know, like, they've shown enough ability, like, even the guys that have kind of struggled, like, there's some guys that can step up. If they're keeping the games close, I feel like that's more important to me. If you had three guys starting on the weekend, and assuming Nate Dome was able to come in and do what he was already doing, if you had three starters that could all potentially go 6 to 7 innings, and then Tyson Harden and Brooks Auger are in your bullpen, I mean, to me, that's the most important thing. But that's just me.
I just feel like they've got enough pitching that if they could get two more 300 hitters into this lineup, then you're rolling. I mean, if you're telling me that I'm going to have Mershon, Jordan, Larry, Hines, Kohler, Chance, and Hijack all hitting 300 or above, I'm fine with the pitching where it is. That's just my thought.
Yeah, and that's assuming that Kohler and Larry bat 300 plus Hunter Hines.
Everybody
and
else
all
stays
them
the same, basically. Yeah.
If that were the case, if you got 300 hitters the rest of the year with Kohler, Larry, Dakota Jordan, Hunter Hines, then yeah, I might agree with that. But yeah. I just assume the law of averages is going to. Somebody's going to go down too.
He didn't make that scenario specific enough. He should have added everybody else stays the same.
Come on, Colton.
God. Brick Thomas, we were projected in the Tallahassee Regional in the field of 64 today, considering this year's team, and you had the choice to end the season today. Would you end it and take the second seed or risk it and see if State could host or miss the tournament? State cannot host. They cannot host. So take the two seed.
Well, they could. They could. But it's going to take. I mean, they're going to have to win. They're going to have to win 18 SEC games, probably.
They have 15 games left. They would have to almost go like 13-2, something like that. Win all the non-conference games, lose one at Arkansas, lose one at
Vanderbilt. 20 SEC wins
to get to host. Yeah, I think so. I mean,
I think they could host with 18.
So I went back and looked. State's RPI going into the Selection Sunday in 2014 was 25, and they didn't host with 18 SEC wins. This team, I mean, I just don't know where their RPI needs to be. It's 45 right now. It's going to drop a little when they play to Memphis tonight. It's going to drop a little when they play North Alabama in 2 weeks. They have three games with Missouri, who should be sub 100 by the time they get to Starkville. It's just going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
I think that their RPI will climb. If they win 8 more conference games, you probably beat – let's see. We'll say they sweep one of the series.
Sweep Missouri. Which is
they sweep Missouri.
Yeah.
They win 2 against Alabama, which that's both five. Those things are possible.
That's 5.
That's 5 games. And then you win a series against Vanderbilt probably.
That's 7. And then you,
and then you win 1 against Arkansas.
Yeah. I mean, that's 18 conference wins.
That
I don't know that you're hosting them. I just don't. I don't know.
I think they'll be in the. I think they'll be in the conversation.
Okay.
And then you know maybe win a couple of games in the SEC tournament or something.
Maybe.
I think it's possible.
I don't know.
But I'm not predicting that. I think this team can get to 16, and I think 16 will definitely get them in the tournament, and they'll feel really good about that. But you know, I would take a 2 seed right now. I think.
Yeah. RJ Sweatman asks us, rank these gas station snacks, jerky, Slim Jim, pink eggs, and vinegar sausage. Well, pink eggs and vinegar sausage are tied for last. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. The other two I'll debate.
Pig feet.
No. I would prefer a Slim Jim, just a quick snack, than the whole bag. A bag of jerky is also like $27 these days.
What?
Beef jerky is super expensive, man. It's not. I'm exaggerating, but it's still for like 4 ounces of jerky. It's like $10.
Where are the pork rinds here?
Pork rinds should be on this list.
That is a top 5.
Corn nuts.
Oh, I love corn nuts.
Combos is a gas. I mean, have you ever bought combos at a grocery store?
No.
No, only at the gas station.
Like the pizza ones?
Yes. Yes.
Those are good.
Also the Gardetto's snack mix. Never bought it at a grocery store ever. Only at
Gardetto's,
I bought Chex Mix.
Bold Chex Mix or good gas station food. Yeah.
But I've bought that at grocery stores. I've never bought Cardetto's at a grocery store. So
you know they have like the what I used to call the cow patties, the burnt chips or whatever.
Oh, the rye chips. Yeah.
They sell those like separate.
Yeah, you just get a bag. That's the best part. Yeah. I agree.
Back in the day, had they done that, I would have just bought that.
Yeah, everybody would have. Yeah. Let's see here. Brogan Fairchild asks us, what is your favorite smell of springtime? Mine has to be honeysuckle. That's very nice. What, do you have a favorite smell of springtime?
I love the smell of freshly cut grass.
That's a good one.
Even though it's, I think I might be allergic to it, but not the smell, but the freshly cut grass. Just, you know, spring, like the flowers blooming, always smells great. Smell the pine a little bit.
It's a good one. Freshly cut grass, I love this. Probably correct answer for me.
Grills.
That was my other one. That's really when you start smelling. You walk around your neighborhood and you smell people cooking out. I love that.
Yep.
So, I got a little breaking news here. Did you see who the new head football coach at St. Andrews is?
I did. Would you like to argue over that again?
Well, I just want to tell you, now I have no reason to like Channing Ward. He went to Ole Miss, and I don't like St. Andrews either.
So. You didn't care anything about Aberdeen, but once he crossed the threshold to Ole Miss.
I have no connection to Aberdeen High School, but St. Andrews, we played them every year when I was in school.
Did you ever, like, pick the honeysuckles and, like, get the honey out of it?
Yeah, it's like a crawfish head almost sometimes.
Does anybody even do that anymore? Nobody does. Was that just like a 80s and 90s
probably
thing?
Chemicals and all that stuff now. So. Also from Brogan, did the spring game change your opinion about any of the position groups? No. And pretty much saw what I thought I was going to see. I mean, I think Chapin might be a little better than I thought he was.
That's me too. Yeah. That I kind of just wanted to see what he looked like. Like out on the field in a live game, like I felt like he would be good in this offense, but we saw him throw the ball like three times in spring because we got to see 20 minutes of practice. So all we were able to see of him was what we saw in videos, the little bit of practice we saw, things like that. So I felt like he would be good, but you just don't know until you actually see it. I do feel a lot better about that guy now. So it might be the quarterback position because I thought we saw some good things from Chris Parson too.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if I was going to pick one, that would be it. But I don't know that I wouldn't say that I changed my thought on it as much as I feel a little bit better. But like I thought Chapin, in the Lebby offense, I just felt like that could, you know, they were going to do well regardless. So. I wouldn't say that I overly thought it. So, all right, where are we here? The MSU Bagman. If time travel was real, which sports moment would you go back to see with your own eyes? The Miracle on Ice is probably the number one. Wouldn't be there for that. I mean, that had to be incredible. There's one that because there's no footage of it really. Babe Ruth calling his shot. I'd like to see if that actually happened.
That, and, you know, I'd like to see, like, Jim Thorpe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some old, yeah. That's a good one. Seeing Jim Thorpe at the, or Jesse Owens at the Olympics. The Nazi's face. That's what I'm talking about.
Could I go back to, like, the 1920s when the Egg Bowl was just, like, super vicious?
Oh, I want to go back to the one where there was the fight.
They're
fighting the stands.
State lost that game. I don't know if I really want it, but I would love to be out there brawling. That'd be incredible.
Just you to get out there and knock somebody out.
Yeah. I'd have Stephen Regal brass knucks ready to roll. I'm ready to go.
Pull them out of your tights.
Yeah, exactly. In honor of the women's golf team winning the SEC championship, who are your favorite golfers of all time? I mean, I love Freddie Couples when he was in his prime.
As you know, I'm not a big golf guy, but I always liked Payne Stewart, like the style that he had. And I remember he died like when I was younger, and that was like a big, like, everybody had like a tribute to him shortly after he died, yeah. And I was real interested in that at the time.
Frank Stewart, he had the NFL gear at all times. He always wore NFL-related clothing.
Yeah, and he had the little hat.
Yeah,
that he wore. He always pulled his the pants legs up, rolled his pants legs up, and had the colorful socks.
Mm-hmm.
So he was fun, man. And he was also like around my dad's age, so you know, like I had that kind of connection.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's up there for me. And like I don't even remember if he was just
he's a good golfer.
All that great. I mean, I assume he was. I mean, he's in the PGA, but
yeah,
it wasn't ever about that. It was kind of like the style that he had. I always was interested in.
Okay. Another one from RJ Sweatman. My wife constantly asked me questions during baseball games. Could you and Robbie or both have a special show once a week and every other week where you have your wives on so they can ask questions and you can answer them? No, this is our time away from that. What are we talking about? I answer those questions at home. I don't want to do it at work.
Oh, man. You don't want to talk to your wife extra?
I love talking to my wife. I'm just saying I don't want to talk to her at work. I have, you know, I get enough of that at home. I get enough talk.
Okay.
All right. Where are we here?
I mean, if Becky wanted to ask some questions on here, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I have a bad feeling about the questions my wife would ask. I just don't think.
Oh, I do too. My wife, I think, would be fine, but
yeah.
But for
Jennifer would be problems. Yeah.
It could be tough. She has no filter.
No.
Which is great.
Yeah.
It's very fun when I go to your house and there's other people there that she's never met.
Yeah.
And she'll just call them out right in front of their faces.
Right.
That's fun. I really enjoy that.
Jay in Baltimore, lots of opinions out there in Bulldog Nation on what the lineup should be versus what Lemonis has been going with. What would your lineup be if you were given control of the team for the upcoming weekend? We're definitely dropping to Monty Larry down in the batting. That's
David Mershon's leading off.
Yeah.
And
then we go Jordan.
I guess we'd move Dakota Jordan to two and probably, yeah. You know, right now it's tough having Dakota Jordan and Hunter Hines back to back because they're just not really coming through.
Let Hijack back third and then Hines fourth.
I don't know. I mean, Hijack has been better driving in runs lately than Hunter Hines. When guys are on base, I feel better about Hijack in there than I do Hunter Hines.
Third, then Chance third.
I wouldn't be opposed.
Maybe Chance second.
Second, Chance yes, second, yes.
And
Chance second,
Jordan
Dakota Jordan
third.
Yeah,
Hijack up to fourth.
Might would do that.
Hines fifth.
Yep.
Okay.
And then Logan Kohler, I might move him up now because he's seems to be locking in a little bit.
Point, yeah, he's sixth. Then Pulley.
I would actually consider Imani Larry ninth because he does. It might, you know, the pressure might be off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a guy that can work himself on base when he's at his best.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a walk, getting hit by pitch, I think that he has capabilities of being a high on base percentage guy when he's locked in. So that would be nice to roll over your lineup with a guy on base.
Agreed.
And Imani Larry, if you take him out of the leadoff spot, maybe that helps like reset him a little bit.
Okay.
But it doesn't appear that Chris Lemonis is willing to do that.
Yeah, I agree. He seems pretty stuck with what he's doing there.
And it's not like my whole thing about that is it's not like you're taking him out of the lineup.
Right.
You're just moving him around a little bit. Give him a little different look.
Mm-hmm.
Let him watch some guys in front of him where he's not leading off the ball game. You don't have to take him out of the lineup. I'm not even advocating for him to come out of the lineup because I think he has the ability to get on base. But you can't have him getting the most at-bats of everybody on the team and going 0 for 4, 1 for 4. He's not walking right now. He's not even really getting hit by pitches like he was. He's just kind of scuffling a little bit. And I think that you need to give him some different scenery.
Okay. I mean, I agree with you 100%. I think.
Yeah, I would go Mershon, Chance, Dakota Jordan, Connor Hijack, Hunter Hines, Logan Kohler. I guess Pulliam, or you could go Larry, Johnny Long, and then
Pulliam or Larry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say probably Larry ninth.
All right. Josh wants us to rank the SEC states by food. So how many states is that? Texas is got two schools. Louisiana.
Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Arkansas,
Tennessee,
Missouri,
Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina.
11.
Oklahoma. 12.
12.
All right. Louisiana 1.
Texas 2.
Okay.
Because Texas is going to have a wide range of foods.
I love and I'm a barbecue guy. Texas is the best barbecue to me. Mississippi 3.
Alabama.
Georgia over Alabama. I think you got better restaurants in Georgia. Georgia.
Tennessee.
Tennessee 5. Memphis barbecue. Very good. Missouri.
Kansas
City barbecue.
Then should Alabama. We move Missouri up considering that?
No, Missouri's worth it. We are going to move Missouri up because they have that. And then the Italian food in St. Louis is as good as you can get outside of New York. It's so
That's what you have to consider. Like, are we talking just the food that the state produces, like their style food? Or are we talking the restaurants?
Okay, if that's the case. Well, then, you know, but they invented toasted ravioli in Missouri, in St. Louis. So, I mean, I love that.
Because I would say Missouri needs to be bumped up if you can, like the big cities that they have. And yeah. I mean, you could probably bump up Florida. I mean,
Florida is for seafood, man. I mean, by the way, finishing like ninth in this wouldn't be bad, right? Now, if you're like, you know, when we get to Kentucky, like what is Kentucky food other than the fried chicken? You know, what is Kentucky food? I don't know.
Yeah, they have, you know, they have steakhouses and stuff. And I mean,
South Carolina, that's good food. I mean, the low country
food.
Yeah, all the low country stuff you get in Charleston, oysters and shrimp. I mean, that's really good. I don't like South Carolina barbecue at all, though. I don't like that base sauce. That isn't a bomb.
I don't like North Carolina's either.
But we don't have to worry about them. They're not in.
I was speaking in general.
Arkansas might be last. Like, what does Arkansas have that's just special?
Mashed potatoes.
Well, you don't want to eat those. You know what's been in those? There we go. Where are we here? Did you know that Ole Miss invented concerts at sports venues and that Morgan Wallen versus Hardy is an argument now? I did that Ole Miss did invent concerts at sports venues because they did. I knew that. What's the argument between Morgan Wallen and Hardy?
I guess they're saying like they got Morgan Wallen and we got Hardy. I don't know.
Okay. Well, there you go. Oh, we have a special question here, by the way. It's first ever question to just be asked of me ahead of time, and I'm going to bring it here to the show. And it's from Michael Borky, who wants to know if, let's just say, Chris Lemonis turns this thing around and he hangs out and he's at Mississippi State another 20 years as the head coach, right? And we're still doing this podcast 20 years from now. And we have Chris Lemonis on the day after he won his 1,000th game as a coach, how would we react to that? And I think you and I would both be very complimentary of Coach Lemonis. We would be very congratulatory to him. Hey, great job. Fantastic career. You're one of the legends of the game. And we appreciate you coming on with us and celebrating this incredible milestone. What kind of a jerk would have a coach on that just won its 1,000th game and not even bring it up?
Oh, did Richard do that?
What? He did that to Mike Bianco?
I don't know.
Did he?
I'm asking.
He did do that. He did that yesterday.
Did he really?
Yes.
He didn't talk about the 1,000th win?
Oh, somebody had to text the show and be like, you're not going to bring up the 1,000th win?
You know, I'll give Richard a break on that because sometimes whenever you're doing interviews or you get caught up doing stuff, you forget about that
exactly
stuff.
Exactly what happened. So.
But also, it's
so funny.
As bad as Ole Miss has been the last 2 years, it's like that's kind of secondary. Like he's got he just got a $125,000 bonus or something for doing that, and they lost the series.
Yeah,
they have six SEC wins. It's like
I know, preacher of the choir. Let's see here. We'll do one more set here, and then we'll go to the break. Pat in Paris wants us to rank these. Are these guys better artists or actors? So Jared Leto. Jared Leto is a better actor.
Yeah.
I mean, I
then those. Yeah. Then those. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just going to do it. I'm not asking you to rank them. I'm saying let's talk about each person. Are they a better actor or are they a better musician?
Oh, okay.
I think Jared Leto's a better actor.
Yeah, well, I did like, you know, the early 30 Seconds to Mars stuff, but yeah. Right. Yeah.
Lady Gaga is a better musician.
Yes.
Although she's a good actress. She's very good. Looking forward to seeing her as Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn, yes, yeah. Going to be good.
Ice-T. I'm at the point now where I don't even hardly remember Ice-T.
I don't know any of his songs, man.
Yeah, so
yeah, I know he was on Law and Order.
Yeah.
What else has he been on?
He was in New Jack City. That's a good movie. You should watch that. Reba McEntire is 100% a better musician. Because she just played herself on the TV show.
Nothing that she does in TV will ever top Fancy.
No, you're right. You're exactly correct. You are at a professional baseball game. And you catch a home run ball. The visiting team hit the home run. And now everyone around you is yelling to throw it back. Do you? The home run was not of any significance. So it's not somebody's first home run or anything like that. Do you throw it back? I mean, doesn't it matter? Like, do I care? If I'm like at a Cubs-Brewers game and I catch a Brewers home run, I don't like the Cubs and I don't care about the Brewers. So I'm just keeping the ball.
I would keep the ball no matter what. Even if it was a game winning home run from the other team,
that's going back. I don't want that.
I would keep it just to say I caught this home run ball at an MLB game.
Yeah, okay, I mean I get it.
Like if Shohei Ohtani hit one and you caught it, you wouldn't keep that.
Yeah, I said Han Solo, but you just said Shohei Ohtani.
You have no room to ever criticize how I pronounce names.
Neither one of us has any room.
I pronounce names better than you do.
Do you?
Yes.
Let's just start pronouncing names. Go. George Washington.
George Washington.
Okay. Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Ooh, it's close. It's really close. One more. Albert Einstein.
Albert Einstein.
Ah, you screwed up. You paused. I won. All right.
Can you pronounce the starting pitcher for Tuesday night for Mississippi State?
Pico Kahn.
Okay. You change it up every now and then.
I thought it was Cone for a long time. Yeah. You get a popcorn tin as a present. Which flavor gets eaten first, and do you finish the tin? I have never finished a popcorn tin. That's impossible.
Never.
Cheese is going first.
I'm not even sure that those like ever expire either.
No, God, no. If you got one in 1987, that popcorn is still good to eat.
What would I finish first is the question.
Cheese.
Because
that's what did you eat first? Which one are you going in first?
Like the first thing you scoop up?
Yeah,
or
cheese.
Okay. Mine would probably be the caramel corn.
Caramel? Okay. I'm going cheese. Yeah. All right. My dad took.
I never really liked the cheddar.
Oh, I love cheddar popcorn. Yeah. My dad took me to see Three Dog Night as my first concert. What was your first concert? I was later in life. I was 20 when I went to my first concert.
It would have been like it probably would have been like a Christian concert because that's where my mom would send me to.
Okay.
So like Third Day or Audio Adrenaline or something like that.
Okay. Mine is Kiss. Saw them in the Superdome on their reunion tour.
Strong first concert.
Yeah. Yeah. What sucked is the show before they played in New Orleans, Alice in Chains opened for them.
Oh, wow.
I missed that. I got Sponge.
Sucks is like you don't get to pick the opening acts when they have the several different ones that they have over the course of it.
Exactly. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. The weather is going to be outstanding this weekend, so break out the grills and fire them up. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef. So many great options to choose from. If you're looking for any kind of recipes for tailgating, for weeknight dinners, whatever it is, if you want to involve beef, go to msbeef.org. They've got a ton of great stuff for you to check out there, along with a lot of information about our beef and providers here in the state. 15,000 farmers doing almost $500 million a year worth of agribusiness. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I just received a word from a friend that a certain Don Collins, not a fan of Two Brothers. Don Collins, we're not a fan of you here on this podcast. Just want to let you know that. If you're listening,
who's Don Collins?
That's people are asking that very same question. Who is Don Collins? Where does he get the right? So I just want to point that out. Two Brothers is fantastic. It's a great place to go eat, great place to hang out when you're in Starkville. I hope that I will see you there and not Don Collins at Two Brothers Smoked Meats.
Robbie, well, what'd he say?
He said it was bad. He's wrong. I want the world to know that Don Collins is not a man that can be trusted.
I don't think I like this guy.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. He is not a good person. All right, then. Great products and great services, what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 49 years. That means that's a place you can trust. It means that when you buy something from Advantage Business Systems, if something goes wrong, you can call them back and they're going to get you taken care of each and every time you do it. They deliver service after the sale, and that's how they've been able to stay open for 49 years. Give them a call next time you need technology for your business, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. This weekend, any weekend, you're going to be in Starkville. Anytime you're looking for Mississippi State stuff while you're here in Starkville, you need to be at Maroon & Co. They have an incredible selection, stuff you cannot find anywhere else, all the logos that you want. They are the exclusive provider for the Bulldog Initiative. All the polos and the hoodies and stuff you've been seeing the coaches wear, you can only get it at Maroon & Co. Use the promo code THUNDER15 for 15% off any item, regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you head to Duty Noble anytime this spring, you need to head to Maroon & Co. All right, back into it here with Will Carruth. Are any of these classic baseball songs played at Duty Noble? Center Field, Cheap Seats, Talking Baseball, and Glory Days. Three of those four are. I've never heard Talking Baseball there, but I've heard Center Field, Cheap Seats, and
you have heard Talking Baseball, but it was in the old Dude.
Okay, back when the
they used to play it all the time. Thing. Yes.
Okay. Nowadays, no. So.
Yeah, they used to play it all the time. Like all of those have been played, but three of them, the ones that you mentioned, they're played, I think, every game.
Okay. Let's see here. Matthew Watkins asks, I work with kids with autism, and one of the things I've had to teach my kids is their parents' phone numbers, including those phone numbers, the phone numbers from your ad reads, and my family. I have about 8 or 9 phone numbers memorized. I had somebody tell me they called Advantage Business Systems, and they were like, we don't need to look the number up. I know it.
That's great.
That's good stuff. So Matthew is among them. How many phone numbers do you have memorized, and how many is too many? I know my mom's number off the top of my head. I know my wife's. I have. I don't know my kids' numbers off the top of my head. I don't know. I know about 2 or 3 of my friends' numbers. I have one of my old family, the Augustinellis, Uncle Vic and Aunt Shirley. I know their phone number because it just never changed. It's been the same my whole life. And I remember my mom's old phone number before we got it changed when I was, actually, you know, I take it back. My mom just got a new phone number. I don't know it. I know.
Uh-oh. Old. So you better learn it.
Need to learn that. Yeah. So I know about 8 or 9 as well. On top of, I know Advantage Business Systems phone number.
I know my number, I don't know Becky's number.
I don't know it.
You don't know my number? I don't know yours either.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, there's a deal. Like, we have our own phone book in our phones now, and we just go click the names. It's hard to remember numbers now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, used to, you would call your friends at their house and things like that. I mean, just get used to doing it.
This number doesn't exist anymore, but I still remember the Nelson's phone number, like that I would call to talk to them. I remember they. I remember another one, another friend of mine. His phone number was an inverted cross. It was 7920. That's why I remember it.
Nice.
And then I don't remember Duff's phone number off the top of my head. Wait a minute, I think I might now. Now that I think about it, but it's not just automatic. The Nelson's number, I could dial that today. So
did the Nelsons ever get jokes about like the
about the what?
Nelson,
like, yes.
did you guys ever make jokes?
Into it. They said that was their cousins. Anytime there's somebody named Nelson, that's their cousin. Tim Nelson was the Nelson's cousin. They called him Cuz.
Like, I do that with like cuz. Marshall Faulk and
I never had that luxury.
Yeah, there's not very many.
I don't know any other hey dads. Yeah, unless they're actually my cousins.
I wish that they would. I wish the Nelsons would just be the Nelson brothers, for Halloween or something. Just like put on blonde wigs.
Yeah, like they should have done that.
Those oversized like button down shirts.
Yes. Sheldon Nations asked, do you think teams will fake injuries next year to slow Mississippi State down? How do you think Mississippi State fans will handle it? Yeah, I mean, especially Ole Miss, they're going to do it. Yeah, I mean, you just know that's going to happen. First drive of the game, somebody's going to go down like they've been shot. And then two plays later, oh, he's back. A miraculous recovery, as Jack Crystal would say. This is one of the
J.J. Pegues last year.
Oh, no. God. One of the easiest questions we've ever had. Who had the better career? This is from Papa Crawdad. Better career, Juventud Guerrera, Psicosis, or Ultimo Dragon? Ultimo Dragon, man. That guy held like 10 belts at once.
Yeah, he was a legend in Mexico and Japan.
Yeah.
You got to think like worldwide. Like he was Juventud probably in America.
Mm-hmm.
He probably had the best career. He was a little more mainstream
overall, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Winston.
Psicosis.
I know. But no love for the Silver King? What's going
on? Where's El Dandy?
That's what I'm saying, man. No love for Ciclope? What's going on?
Who was the guy that had like the Playboy bunny on his trunks? Like, what was that dude's name?
Wasn't that El Dandy? That was not El Dandy. Was that Hector Garza?
No, I don't think so.
Let me see if I can find it out here. It's not showing up here.
Oh well.
Got to be careful what you you do have to be careful with what you Google with Playboy bunny trunks. Just be careful. Just let you know. I just saw something I could never unsee. Where are we here? Winston asked, I saw a Maroon is All That Matters shirt for the first time ever last week at my local grocery store in Natchez. First off, congrats on going this far, for making it 20 years without seeing one of those. The shirt was in great shape, I'll give them that, but should I find a new place to grocery shop? It's got to get out.
You can't trust that place anymore.
No, the
patrons there are not to be trusted.
Sean Brown asks, I expect Lamonis to be back next year if they continue to win, but if not, has Justin Parker done enough to at least earn an interview for head coach? No. Mississippi State should not hire a pitching coach to be its head coach. They should hire a head coach to be their head coach.
What if it's more difficult than you think to hire a head coach?
Can we get the pitching coach from Wake Forest then? That's the only assistant coach that comes to mind where I would be like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. After 1 year, I definitely wouldn't be ready to move him to the head coaching position.
Agreed. Dear Old State, over-unders here. Blake Shapen, 3,200 yards. So that's right at 270 yards a game, I think, something like that. 3,200. I feel like that's really close. I mean, you picked a good number there.
Well, in Let's see. Year one at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Only 11,
Mack Corral
only 10 games now.
Yeah, he had 3,300.
But I'm gonna say, but that defense. I mean, if State's defense is that bad, then maybe because he just got back on the field so much. I guess. But we're talking about maybe having another two games. I guess 3,200. We have to stay over then. How many
and then he had
yards did he have the next year?
3,349.
All right, then yeah, we'll say over.
And that was in 13 games.
Okay. Over under 33 points per game. That's a lot. I'm going to say under.
Yeah. Just for year one.
Yeah, that would be a 12-point per game uptick.
Yeah. Hard to imagine. That's a lot of points.
That's a lot. That's two more touchdowns a game, yeah. Mississippi State scoring defense, top half or bottom half of FBS. There's 134 teams, so they finish above 77th.
I'm gonna say they're gonna be over that. Like they're gonna be higher.
So they'll be between 1 and 76.
No, no, beyond that. Like a higher.
Oh,
like
so they'll be between 77 to 134.
Yes.
All right. So let's just have a look here at something here. I want to look at scoring defense. Where did you go here? Scoring defense. Okay. So Michigan led the nation last year in scoring defense. They were at 10.4 points per game. 76th or 77th was Arkansas at 27.9 points per game. If State's there, they're going to be fine. They're going to be a bowl team.
And Arkansas's defense was god awful.
It's not good. It was not, unless they played Mississippi State. LSU was tied for 78th, as bad as they were, 28 points per game. Who was the worst in the SEC? Now you got me curious. If I can find anybody. Vanderbilt was the worst. They were at 126 at 36 points per game. So even at 100, you're only talking about right at 30 points per game. I'm going to agree with you for sure. All right.
They're going to be lower.
Yeah. I think it'll be between 77 and 134. Dalton Lee. Here we go again. Didn't you say you ran into somebody who knew Dalton Lee and said who confirmed all of these crazy stories?
He did. Said this, right. He said everything he says is correct.
All right. I was in Houston this weekend for some family matters. It is very customary.
Carl Winslow?
You saw Carl Winslow? It is very customary for Chinese families to engorge themselves for family events. I need to be Chinese. I counted that in a span of
American families are like that too.
Yeah, it's true. I counted that in a span of 2.5 days, we had 13 instances of eating together: breakfast, lunch, dinner, tea time, afternoon snacks, late night snacks, etc. Have you ever eaten this much? And what is the best way to pace yourself? Or do I need to go fully chestnut? Have I ever eaten that much? Sounds like Tuesday in my house. What are you talking about?
Every day.
Every day. Plus, I'm
no,
also
like it's
the Gustinelli's. So. You know, when we have family reunions, man, it's
oh god.
You have the big lunch, and then around 3 o'clock, they're like putting the food back out. Just like, let's just go. So you just gotta pace. Eat when you're hungry. Take a bite here and there. Don't make a big plate. Just keep getting up. Walk around. Burn some calories that way.
That's what happens whenever my family comes over for the holidays across the street. You know, Christmas, Easter somewhat, Thanksgiving definitely, July 4th definitely. We're eating all day. We somebody cooks breakfast, and that's around, so you can go over and get some breakfast if you want to. We have lunch, then we have snacking like the rest of the day. Then you have dinner that was basically leftovers from lunch. It's just constantly eating.
Well, Steve Mormon, with the announcement that Hardy is coming to the Dude, it got me thinking. When I was at State, I saw Tina Turner, Bon Jovi, George Jones twice, Chicago, and many more live at the Hump. Why is it no longer used for concerts? Is it the artists, MSU, or is it no longer a suitable venue? This is a question I've asked a lot of times, and I don't know the answer to it.
The answer is, I believe, MSU.
Really? They just don't want to use it as a venue.
What I was told several years ago was that the Bankport South Center in Tupelo began getting the big acts. And they were taking some of those acts the way they would normally go to the hump. They started going to Tupelo. And MSU has virtually stopped booking concerts for the hump. And it's disappointing because there's so much potential that you have as a university to bring, and as a city of Starkville, to bring revenue to Starkville, to the university, whatever. Mississippi State has it as at its disposal now.
Yeah.
And they have the best ballpark quite possibly in America as far as a college ballpark is concerned. I would use Duty Noble to my advantage. I would have 4 or 5 concerts in that venue a year, and you can probably get 15,000 to 18,000 people in there. If you did something with Left Field Lounge and open that up, you could get probably 20,000 people.
Yeah.
And that you're not going to, there's not very many arenas in the country, college basketball, that's going to seat 20,000 people.
Yeah.
So I would utilize Duty Noble Field during the summer months. Going into the fall, I would utilize the hump most of the year, and then I would do one big stadium show every year at Davis Wade Stadium.
Yeah.
And I've said this, like, the whole thought process of, we can't do this, or the logistics, or that should no longer be a thing. You make this work, you're going to make a lot of money off of it. It's going to be worth paying whatever you have to pay to get the artist and the logistics or whatever. You got to start doing things like that to take Starkville to the next step, because I truly believe that doing things like that makes Starkville more of a destination town. It brings you more hotels. It brings you more restaurants. People start to settle here longer. That kind of stuff, I think, would help grow the city of Starkville and the university as a whole.
I feel like Mississippi State and Starkville have a – they're always like, well, there's a lot to figure out if you're going to do something like that, instead of just doing it and just figuring it out as you go. And if one thing's kind of off, then it's just kind of off. And you're just like, hey, we tried and we did the best we could and we still had a great experience, but, we're sorry about this. We'll fix it next time. As opposed to, we got to really think about what we're doing there. So
it's it's
crazy.
Mississippi State and Starkville have been decades behind on things because of the fear of the repercussions or, what could go wrong.
Yeah.
Just do it. And if it goes wrong, then you fix it.
Yeah.
And next time you make it better. But I think that some things, the wheels are turning a little bit, but they've got to get back to hosting these great concerts, because if you have the venue and you're going to sell the tickets, you can get anybody to these campuses. Anybody will come to Mississippi State if you're willing to pay them. And you bring a big enough act, you're going to sell tickets. They're going to get their money. You're going to get your money. I just don't understand not putting that into practice. So hopefully that's starting to change. I mean, I've been beating this drum for years about all these great acts that we always heard about when we were kids, of these people that came to Starkville. And you and I even went to some good concerts when we were in school and when we were younger.
Yeah.
But it's dissipated. And I think a lot of it is, probably the people that are booking, they're just not going out and booking the artists that they should. And I think there's some kind of disconnect happening. Hopefully that gets figured out and they can start getting some acts here. But I've been pushing to so many people, a summer concert series at Duty Noble Field, where you play 4 or 5 concerts during the summer, and that virtually equals the one big concert that you could have at Davis Wade Stadium, which I think they should take part in as well. But you need to be bringing some people to Starkville and bringing these cool concerts. I love this idea of Hardy, Randy Houser, who's another guy from Mississippi, bringing them here. I think it's going to be sold out relatively quick. It just has made sense. We've been talking about this with people for 2 years. This just makes sense. Now let's kind of push this further and try to get even bigger acts to come.
We have an update here. Lynn Rhodes Gilmer, Will Gilmer's mom, has tweeted at us. She's listened to Thunder and Lightning. They said, she's let us know they sold their dairy cows, but they have started growing a beef herd. several years ago. They're still in the cattle business for the foreseeable future. Says she loves the show and been listening since the Bulldog Sports Radio day. So thank you, Miss Gilmer. We appreciate that.
Love it.
But again, he did have to go home and look at his cows and go, eh, yeah, that's going to be you one day.
He sent us a picture. Did you see that?
I did. He said cows were giving him the stink eye. Brett Christensen, first rumbling submission. Zach Selman calls and gives you the power to make one facilities/fan experience upgrade to MSU Athletics. Any sport venue. What is your one move? First rumbling submission. Too bad we're not going to answer it, Brett, because you didn't lock it. And then this guy, Jack Carr, gets in the mix and decides to answer it for us. So just go with what he said, I guess.
You know, Jack seemed like a nice guy.
Kind of person.
This is the worst kind of person.
He even says in his reply, I know this is for Hey Dad and Robbie.
I cannot take that. Everybody that says that states that they know this is for someone else and still answers the question, you deserve ridicule.
Yeah.
Jack, what are you doing, Jack?
Just got it.
Hey, you know how this works. Brett, this is his first rumbling submission, so I will give him a pass on this.
Brett, no hard feelings on you. Make sure you lock those replies next time. Jack, we got a problem.
Hey, we need to tell Brett how to submit this properly, too.
We'll figure it out.
No, tell him what he needs to do.
When you reply where it says everyone can reply, you just change that to only accounts you mentioned can reply. There you go.
There we go.
Chris Nail asks.
It's insane to me that every single time that someone doesn't lock their
question, an answer. Yeah, that's why I do it.
It's like people are just waiting to pounce.
Yeah, that's why it'll never change. Chris Nail, we have high expectations for our baseball team, but sometimes they let us down when they make terrible decisions or dumb mistakes. Which of these is your go-to acronym in those cases? OMG, SMH, WTH, or WTF? I am a WTF man all the way.
Well, I did LOL one time, and everyone got mad at me and thought I was saying that I was actually happy.
Yes, I remember that. Very funny.
That was an LOL like ha ha, I want to jump off a bridge.
Right, I got it.
Yeah.
Jason, does Ospreay versus Danielson make your top five matches ever? You watched it yet?
I'm currently – it's one of the things I'm constantly looking at that you see is the is Dynasty.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I got to Venmo you for that.
That's fine. Okay.
I'm in the middle of Kyle O'Reilly and
– that was a solid match. Very good.
I knew it would be.
Yeah, those two guys can go.
Workers.
Okay, in that case, then, I'm not going to ask this next question. Don't look at it right, because there's a spoiler in there. Don't look.
Uh-oh.
How many – just, you know what? Jason, I'm very sorry. We're gonna move on here so that Robbie does not get anything spoiled.
That's sweet of you.
All right. Cameron Worm, what is the worst event you have ever attended?
Big Worm?
Big Worm? That you have ever attended to support a friend? Oh, that's a good question. Have you ever been to like a concert and they're just like, this band is terrible, but a friend wanted to go?
It might be like a wedding in there.
Ooh, a wedding would be good, yeah.
Or like a, a church service somewhere, like in an old church that's just, let's be real here. We've been to some of these old churches where you have somebody up there that's 95 years old preaching a sermon that's very boring.
Mm-hmm.
We're human. That might be up there too. Like I went to like a graduation ceremony at a church or something like that, that there's been some tough outings.
Yeah.
Places like that.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything specific that just really stands out to me as like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here, but I didn't have any choice. Nothing's coming to mind. If anything does, I'll pop back in. How many
there have been graduation. Speaking of the graduation, there have been high school graduations that I've gone to.
I went to my niece's graduation at Mississippi State. I mean, what a waste of time.
Oh,
that's the one. You got it. That you
500 people getting their names called.
Yeah. How many consecutive times can you use a towel before it needs to be washed? It's an outstanding question. I feel like a week is the limit on a towel.
I don't go longer than three times.
Three, okay. I mean,
I do two times, Mandatory two times.
Okay.
And sometimes I forget that I've used it twice already, and I'll do it for the third time. But usually it's – I mean, here's the thing about a towel. You're getting out of it, getting out of the shower clean.
Right. It's more about the moisture that can form mildew. It's not about it's dirty. It's that it's wet.
I'm a compulsive towel hanger.
Okay.
The towel and also a washcloth has got to be able to properly dry. So my towels, they get properly dried, and then I put them in the dirty laundry. I hang up the towels. I make sure every inch of it is dry, and then it goes in the dirty laundry.
Okay.
They got to be they can't be wadded up on the ground. They can't be the washcloth can't be wadded up. It's got to properly dry.
Okay.
That's how mildew sets in.
All right.
Like you said.
All right. Let's see here. Mason Welch, I mean, this question, this could be the rest of the podcast. Some of the biggest changes you've seen in sports media since you first started. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin, Robbie.
The biggest change to me is the ability for anybody to kind of insert themselves into the business and just say that they're suddenly a journalist with, like, you know, they just decided they want to start covering sports, and they start tweeting things like they got the information. They start contacting people without going through SIDs, stuff like that. I mean, just about anybody can come out now and say, you know, I'm a sports journalist, or I cover Mississippi State. I have a podcast, this and that. I'm not trying to discourage anybody from doing that.
Right.
Follow your dreams or passions, whatever. I'm just saying that's something that I don't think was very common, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah. Let's see here. Reed Green. Robbie, question for you. Where does Bayer Leverkusen's unbeaten streak of 45 games, which is the longest all time in Europe's top five leagues in counting, rank in sports?
It's nowhere close to the top.
I mean, I would think, to me, the number one is what, UCLA?
UCLA with John Wooden.
Yeah, that's probably number one, but 45 unbeaten. The thing about the 45 unbeaten, though, is it's soccer. There's draws in there. So it's just that they've had draws. They just haven't lost. So it's very impressive. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know. How many more transfers?
UConn women, their run, they had 111 games. It's impressive.
How many more transfers on both sides of the ball would you start to feel more comfortable to say this team can win seven games? If they got a game-breaking wide running back, like if they got Martinez, or if Amos would just go ahead and actually commit, and if they could get a couple of real defenders, guys that have started Power 5 games and are you believe in them, I might say seven. Might.
Like one legit cornerback.
Yeah.
A legit edge rusher.
Yeah.
Damian Martinez.
Yeah.
Did they get three guys?
Yeah.
Three guys could get you one more win, you think?
Agreed. Dan Glenn, my son is graduating and heading to Florida in the fall. We live in Florida. Any recommendations on good social media follows for my Gator, who will still be a Bulldog at heart? I don't know. The only Florida guy I know. Who did we have on the
Keith
show?
Keith Niebuhr's their recruiting guy.
Super Talk Previews Florida. Who is that guy? Nick De La Torre.
Nick De La Torre.
Yeah, he's good. He's real good.
Yeah.
Follow him. Let's see here. Tucker Medlin. I wouldn't say my years at MSU student have had the most wins, but am I in the running for the craziest years at MSU sports? As a refresher, football, he had the last year of Moorhead, then 3 years of Leach, and then the Arnett debacle. 2 years of Howlin and 3 years of Howlin, 2 years of Jans. He's had four women's basketball coaches. And then baseball has a season canceled with two first-round picks, a national title, then the last 3 years. Pretty weird.
That's about as up and down as it gets.
Yeah, pretty much. Goodness. Let's see here. Is that it? Nope. Brad Baxter wants to know, of these scenarios, which is the most likely to occur? Arkansas wins its first national title, Kentucky makes their first trip to Omaha, or both A and B? I think it's Arkansas finally breaking through. This is the year. I think this is the year for them.
They do not need to be number one going into the tournament.
No, don't be number one.
And if they win it, then they're going to suck for 2 years, yeah, at least.
All right, last one here from Frank Dukes. He's asking about Osprey Danielson. Where do I rank it? It's way up there. Really, really good. I'm excited for Robbie to watch it. Why is Tony Khan so great at booking pay-per-views but lackluster for weekly television? I think it's just as simple as you've said before. The storylines are not great in AEW. They suffer there. But when you get them in the ring, AEW has outstanding wrestlers who know how to put together a good match.
And, you know, when you get to the pay-per-views or the live event, whatever, what are they called, special events?
Yeah.
I don't know. When you get to those, it's basically all about the wrestling at that point. There's not a whole lot of, like, backstage interviews or anything like that. So the focus is on the ring. Like, and I think they're really good at that, like we said, but – he really needs some help. He needs somebody to be like head of creative, you know, or something like that. Like, he doesn't need to be that involved because he has absolutely no background in this business to know what's going to, you know, sell, what storylines are good. He, you know, and I don't know if the Young Bucks are part of that too, but
they need a veteran guy. I mean, they have those guys. You know, Arn Anderson is there. Dean Malenko is there. They need some, Jeff Jarrett might be a guy to talk to. They need somebody like that. I agree with you 100%. So, all right, tomorrow's show, more football, some baseball, plenty of other stuff to talk about as we continue to keep up with Mississippi State sports. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.